2 Timothy chapter 2. And I don't know with COVID if we'll even be allowed to go to the funeral. I don't know how that works with Australia right now. But just remember him if you would. You know, this passage is fitting as we think about Brother Anger. It's about the servant of the Lord. And if we could even, could we find someone who has given more, you know, modern day than Brother Anger? He's literally given his life. And, you know, his health problems mostly stem from spending so much time in all these other countries and all the health issues that involved. But God here is instructing the servant of the Lord, how to be a good servant of the Lord. And this is for all of us because we are God's servants. The day we got saved, we became his servant. He's our master. And he tells us how to be a good servant. So verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So the servant of the Lord, let's pray. Lord, we love you, we thank you for your word, and we pray you'd use it in our hearts now. Lord, we want to please you. We want to honor you with our lives. And so may we take these truths to heart and strive to be the servant you want us to be. Thank you for being a good master. And so we love you. We commit this service to you. Pray we'll be honored and glorified through it. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So basically, just a list of instructions on how to be the servant of the Lord God wants us to be. And isn't it interesting? It starts off with must not strive. Must not strive. We're not here to fight and argue with the world about anything. You know, the way to win the lost isn't to argue with them. Amen? It'll never work. It's only the powerful word of God that will pierce their hearts and convince them they need Jesus Christ. It's not our ability to be a great debater. It has to be God that convinces them they need the Lord. And so we're not here to strive. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We are here to be peaceable. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. So we're not to strive. We're not to fight. We're here to be like Jesus. Amen. To be gentle like Jesus. To be meek like Jesus, as we'll see. And so the servant of the Lord, we're not here to strive. We're here to be peaceable. But then he says, verse 24, specifically gentle. Gentle unto all men. If you go to 2 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul uses this word to describe our wonderful Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 1 if you would. And when you think of Jesus and his ministry on earth, his time on earth, that word gentle really comes to mind, doesn't it? That was how Christ behaved himself when he was among people that hated him. He was always gentle. Notice 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. He says, I am beseeching you, Corinthians, by the gentleness of Jesus. Paul is saying, I want to be gentle myself. But I'm struggling with it because you're such ratbags that I'm afraid that when I show up, I'm going to be a bit harsh and I don't want to be harsh. He's essentially admitting that in his own life. And Paul was tended to be more direct. But he's saying, I beseech you by the gentleness. Jesus was gentle. And the servant of the Lord is to be gentle. When Jesus sent his disciples, he said, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. He didn't say, I send you as wolves in the midst of sheep, did he? He says, I want you to be like sheep. I want you to be gentle like sheep. And you're going to be surrounded by a bunch of wolves. But he says, don't worry, I'm with you. But he says, that's how I want you to behave yourself as a servant of the Lord. Not striving, but gentle. And then look at verse 24 again, apt to teach. Three little words, but look how powerful they are. Apt. At the word apt, tiny little word, but it means ready. It means willing. willing and ready to teach. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, what did he say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We've been left behind, if we're born again, to teach all nations. To teach them what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to teach them about the person of Christ and about his sacrifice at Calvary and how he paid for our sins, how he rose again for our justification and offers eternal life to those that will trust him and be born again. We're to be teaching people these great truths. We're to be sharing the gospel with them, and we're to be apt. So that word apt means not only ready, but able. You know, a lot of Christians, they don't witness because they're afraid to witness. Not only because of what the reaction they might get, but they're afraid because they feel like they don't know how. Well, then learn how. Amen? It's not that hard to share your testimony with the lost. Tell them what God did for you. It's not that hard to learn some basics about sharing the gospel. Learn them. We're not going to be able to get at the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, I just didn't have time to learn how to share the gospel. I don't think that's going to fly too well at the judgment seat, is it? We're to be apt to teach. We're to be able. We're to be ready. Whenever the Holy Spirit brings someone across our path, we're ready. We're ready to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't teach what you don't know, can you? That's why verse 15 is so important in this chapter. Look what it says. First word. All we need is the first word. Study. Amen? Study. The more you study, the more you'll be apt to teach. So study. So the servant of the Lord, that's us. We're not to strive. We're to be peaceable. We're to be gentle. And we're to be apt to teach. And I love this next word, verse 24, patient. We all need more patience, of course. Another word would be long-suffering, one of the fruits of the Spirit. Does it take patience to talk to people about Jesus? Absolutely. Because the devil's the god of this world. He's very good at bringing up excuses. You know, people come to me often, they say, oh, I invited so-and-so to church, and they're coming this Sunday. They'll be here. And I say, that's wonderful. I said, but you need to be praying because the devil is going to do everything in his power to try to keep them from coming. And it's a fact. I would say 50% of the time, if not more, they don't make it. What happened? The devil didn't want them to be here. That's what happened. And he throws things in their paths to make it so they won't come. You go to someone's house to share the gospel with them, and at that very moment, the baby starts screaming. How does that happen? That's the devil. And so we're to be patient. Winning the loss takes patience. I'm not going to take a show of hand, but I wonder how many of us would say, I got saved the very first time I heard the gospel. The first time I heard about Jesus, I got saved. I would say most of us would not raise our hand. That it took multiple times of us hearing the gospel before it finally got through our thick skulls and we realized we need Jesus. So we need to be patient. You know, a lot of times we'll witness to someone and they're just not getting it. And that doesn't mean we just walk away and say, oh, well, they can go to hell. No, we need to keep trying. If they'll let us, keep after them. Be patient. Aren't you thankful God was patient with us? Think about it. And you know what? God's going to develop the patience if you want it. He says, the trying of your faith worketh patience in James chapter 1, verse 3. He'll give you more patience if you really want to be that kind of a servant. So we're to be peaceable or not strive. We're to be gentle. We're to be apt to teach. We're to be patient. But look at verse 25 now. In meekness. So remember when Paul beseeched the Corinthians, he says, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. So gentleness has more to do with how we treat others. Meekness has more to do with who we are inside. That inner strength that only comes from being close to the Lord. Look at Matthew 11:29, where Jesus talks about his own meekness. Matthew chapter 11. Actually, look at verses 28 and 29. And look what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29 of Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus says, I want you to be like me. I want you to learn of me. I want you to learn more of me, and I want you to be more like me. And I am meek and lowly. And he says, I want you to be meek. Paul says the servant of the Lord is to be meek. You know, we're told in 1 Peter 3, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. So that's that apt to teach part, but we're also, when the time does come, we're meek. People that are zealous about witnessing to the lost, it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. And we all should be, but sometimes they lose that meekness, and that's a dangerous thing. Because then the striving begins. So meekness. And then verse 25 of our passage, instructing those that oppose themselves. So this goes back up to the teaching part. What are we supposed to be doing? 2 Timothy 2:25, instructing those that oppose themselves. Well, those who are not born again, they're opposing themselves, right? They're essentially rejecting the gospel. They're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting what he did on Calvary. And so they're opposing themselves. We have to instruct them. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 21, where Paul talks about his own ministry of instructing the lost. And look what he says, Acts chapter 20, verse 21. He makes it sound so simple. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Paul said, as many as I can, I'm instructing those that oppose themselves that they need to repent of their sin. That's why we always start with sin when we're witnessing to the lost. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So they need to repent of their sin, acknowledge they're a sinner, and acknowledge that Jesus Christ paid for that sin and placed their faith in what he did at Calvary and placed their faith in his person for their eternal destiny. Instructing them. You know, really, that's one of the main reasons why we're here, is to instruct those that oppose themselves. Why? Verse 25. If God peradventure. Peradventure. What a word. Will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. That's what I meant when I said earlier, we're not here to argue with the lost because we can't win the lost. We don't win souls. Amen? God wins souls. We just witness. We just share. We just teach. We just instruct. God is the one that convicts. And God is the one that woos them to the Lord. God is the one that convinces them that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. God does that. That's what it says. God will give them repentance. We can't give them repentance. We don't have that power. We're just sinners saved by grace. But God can give them repentance. That's why when we witness to a lost person, if they reject the gospel, don't take it personally. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. You're just the messenger. But they have to acknowledge, notice it says there, to the acknowledging of the truth. They have to acknowledge the truth. They have to acknowledge that the gospel is true. Look at 1 Peter 1:23, if you would. And that's why it's so important that when we share the gospel with the lost, and this is important, give as many scriptures as you can. And we're not talking magic here. We're talking power. Amen? The Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So when you share the gospel with a lost person, it's great to have an outline. It's great to give them the gospel and the truths of what Jesus did and sin and so forth. But get as many scriptures in as you can. Because notice 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is always involved in salvation. Because that's where the power is. The word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So give as much of the Bible as you can when you get a chance to witness to a lost person. And hope that they will repent to the acknowledging of the truth. What is the truth? It's only found in here. Amen? And so repentance to the acknowledging that what God said, what our Creator gave and said and wrote down for us is true. And this book that is truth says we're sinners. And that the wages of sin is death and that we deserve to go to hell. And it says that God became a man, Jehovah became a man, and lived on this earth a perfect life. And that when he died on Calvary, he died as our substitute. He died for us. And that when he rose again 3 days later, he rose again to say that he had conquered death and that now he has the power to offer us life, eternal life. But give as much of the gospel as you can, because verse 26 of our passage, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Please never forget the devil's always involved. Really, this is one of his number one goals, is to keep people from getting saved. You know, somebody asked me once, is it okay to hate the devil? You know, because we're told not to hate, we're told to love. And it made me think, well, I don't know, I've never studied that before, but after studying it, yeah, I think it's okay to hate the devil. Because he hates us, he hates God, and he doesn't want people to get saved. And if you go to 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible teaches that he is involved in keeping people from getting saved. That's why it says there that they have been taken captive by his snare. They are ensnared in the devil, so we shouldn't look at them and say, well, I wish they would quit acting like lost people. That's what lost people do. They act like lost people. That's just natural. Amen? So don't be shocked. Just be brokenhearted like Jesus was. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice it says that the devil blinds minds. They have been taken captive by him. They are in the snare of the devil. And our prayer and our hope is that God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves. I love that phrase, recover themselves. That tells me that the Calvinists are wrong. Amen? Because the Calvinists teach that we can't recover ourselves, that we're completely helpless and we can't make a decision that's a right decision, and that God is going to force us to get saved if we're the elect, and if we're not the elect, we have no hope anyway. But no, this says recover themselves. So we do have a part in making our own decisions to say, yes, I want Jesus. Yes, I want to repent. And yes, I want to be saved. God has given us that free will, and we can make the right decision. Now, we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. As we just read, God will give them repentance. But ultimately, then we decide to repent and to acknowledge that the gospel is true. Because they have been taken captive by him. Never forget that when you witness to the lost. They've been taken captive by the devil. They're blinded by the devil. And it's only the light of God Almighty through his word that can pierce through all that darkness and convince them that they needed Christ. And if it didn't happen for us, we wouldn't be here this morning. Amen? Think about that. If the Holy Spirit hadn't done that for us and pierced through all the darkness in our heart and convinced us that we needed Jesus Christ, we'd be going to hell too. And so as the servant of the Lord, we need to take it seriously what our mission is. That we're to be peaceful and gentle and meek and apt to teach and patient, but we're to be instructing them about Jesus, instructing them in the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that God, peradventure, will give them repentance, and that God will help them recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, which we can't do. So this is what God wants from all of us, and it just makes me think of Pastor Anger and how this is what he gave his life for all around the world, literally. He just wanted to be the servant of the Lord. And this is what all of us should desire, is to be the servant of the Lord and to be this kind of a servant so that we can make a difference in the life of others. Amen. Let's pray.